everyone. Welcome to an advanced edition of ARG Presents. I am Amigo Aaron, joined by a man who I simply refer to as Game Man Simple, the Brent.
What?
Yeah, Game Man Simple. What? You're not a boy, and what? You're not that advanced.
Yeah, but you didn't change the word game.
Well, you do still play games. Game Man Simple. That's you. Don't mock my intro. Just introduce yourself.
Oh, my goodness, Aaron. That I'm not going to say that's your worst ever, but it's
game
up there.
Man
it's up
simple.
There.
Sort of like caveman.
You came up with that one
no,
on the spot,
no, that,
didn't
I
you?
Worked on that one for weeks.
Oh,
I wrote that down.
Oh,
I got a notebook full of these things. How's it going this week, Brent?
It's been a week. This is what? We're a month into our quarantine.
I don't know what we're doing.
And I'm starting to feel it now. My motivation to learn and to grow has shrunk to nothing.
Urge to learn so, shrinking. I told you, Game Man Simple. You're getting dumber as this thing goes on. And that's a low bar, my friend. Well, Brent, you know, we spun the wheel last week. We made the deal. As you can see there on the screen, this week we'll be playing games from the Game Boy Advance portable Nintendo console.
One of my favorite,
why
by
is
the
that,
way.
Brent? Tell us. I never had one of these things, but you had one for a long time. What was the appeal?
I did. This was a special time for the Game Boy era. This had a lot of really good games. And they weren't just good games. There was a very diverse group of games out there. I think people were hungry to create stuff for the Game Boy. And the original Game Boy, as great as it was very limiting. There were some things that you just could not do with the screen the way it was. So when this thing came out there, I think people were really itching to get on board with this and threw a lot of quality stuff out there. And now, just like any system, there's a lot of crap for this thing too. But I remember this was probably the console I owned the most games for. I think I owned 8 games outside of the PC, of course, in the realm of consoles.
You know, I remember the GBA. Was it the first of the Nintendo portables that eventually you could get from Nintendo that was backlit?
No. There were versions, I believe, of the Game Boy Color that were backlit, at least in Japan.
That made a huge difference. There were GBAs that were not backlit. The first ones were not, right?
Yeah, mine wasn't backlit.
My problem with the Game Boy series was the ones that you couldn't get that were, of course, granted, this is early on, not having those things be backlit was, that was one of the things I was not down with.
It was all about battery life. They allowed for such a huge battery life. I mean, my GBA ran on what, 2 batteries? I'm trying to remember back. And I could play it forever.
I remember borrowing your GBA for a band trip or something one time. And I took this sucker, and I was like, man, I got Street Fighter Alpha. I got Tony Hawk. I'm golden. I'm ready to rock and roll. And I remember getting on the freaking bus and sitting down with that sucker and flipping it on. I couldn't see crap. It was – I was like, this sucks. I can't play this darn thing. I'm putting the hood over myself looking like a geek. On a band bus, no easy task to stand out geek-wise. I'm like, I can't see this thing. So do you recall the first official Nintendo portable that was backlit right off the top of your head?
Like I said, I'm pretty sure the Game Boy Color had Japanese systems that were backlit.
Yeah, and I'm talking America. Because the Game Boy Color was not backlit here, was it? I don't remember seeing one. Maybe later on.
I don't believe it was. Yeah. I can't say with it any assurity, but I'm pretty sure ours were not up until, you know, much later. And I don't think the Game Boy Color ever had one officially.
You've got your Game Boy, your Game Boy Color, your Game Boy Advance, and your DS and your 3DS. Which one of these do you think was the standout handheld of its era?
For me, it was the Game Boy Advance, but that's personal. That's my own personal experiences shining
It was
through.
Very popular.
Probably the DS was a really good system.
Now,
having the two screens opened up a lot of possibilities. But I really at that point, the game had changed so much. It was less impressive to be an impressive handheld, if that makes any sense.
I mean, now you, of course, you played a lot of games on this thing. Do you recall the big hits on this system? I've got a list here. I was just going to kind of run through a couple of these to see if you'd played them. Of course, there were some Zeldas released on this thing, and I remember hearing a lot about this game, the Minish Cap. Did you ever play that one?
I didn't play any of the portable Zeldas, which is kind of funny. Golden Sun was probably my favorite game on the Game Boy Advance. Of course,
well regarded.
Street Fighter Alpha 3 was a technical marvel. Yeah. Along with, you know, I had a lot of portable friendly games for this. You know, I had a Monopoly that was something that wasn't a great game. No, it was Monopoly, but it was a great portable game. And that's something a lot of people don't think of when they're thinking of great games on systems. You can pull it out, you can play four or five turns while you're sitting on the bus or while you're, you know, at lunch or something, save it, put it away, and you don't feel like you lose anything like that. It's a way to kill 5-10 minutes, and for portable games, that's something that's important, being able to do that. And it something that was great with all the Game Boy systems was you could get in and out quickly, and that mattered.
For portability.
I think that is something that I think that's something that really hurt some of the PSP and the disc-based systems, which I also owned way after the fact. It was tough to get in and out of those things quick.
You've got a point there, man. I've got a PSP myself, and I never used the disc in it. You know, I've got a jury-rigged memory card, whole nine yards. But even still, you don't just pop right into the game. There's a bunch of baloney you got to go through. The GBA, I like the feel of it. I like the fact that they added the shoulder buttons, you know. That meant a lot. Yeah. You could have more advanced games. You could have stuff like arcade ports that were closer to what they were, you know, initially. I didn't play a ton of games on it, but I did like playing, like, I mean, the Nintendo standouts, your Marios, played fine on this thing. I remember playing, it was like Mario Land or something like that. I know a lot of people played Advanced Wars on this, which it's not necessarily my bag, but I know tons of my friends played it, you know. So,
yeah, that was another really great game.
It sort of ran
system.
It ran the gambit when it comes to what this thing played. Now, you'll recall, Brentster, that this is our second go-round on the GBA. This came up on our Retro Rewind last week. The first time around, we sort of touched this last week, we played a couple unusual titles in Wade Hickson's Counterpunch and Urban Yeti, which was an absolute dud.
No, it was great.
You know,
I agree.
One thing Nintendo systems have always had, I guess all machines have had this, you've got this layer of garbage, it was just low-level crapola that sort of inhabits these games. Often product placement stuff or stuff that connected with a movie or a TV show that just didn't put a lot of effort into. But I'll have to say, of all the garbage I've played, Urban Yeti stands out in a different way because it seems like they sort of put some effort into something. It just, their effort sucked. That's all I can describe it.
Again, as I've said before about Urban Yeti, it filled a very niche market for those campy style games. I'm not saying Urban Yeti was the best thing ever. It certainly was not. But it's popular, man. It's popular. And I think that really some of the games we looked at this week kind of are in that same vein.
Well,
so
we should go ahead and get into it, Brenner. I think I'm going to lead the show this week. And now, you
okay.
know, here's the thing. I picked my game like right out of the gate last week.
You were excited to pick it, yes.
Because I in fact, I, you know, it's funny. I almost picked a pinball machine for a couple weeks ago. I almost picked pinball machines a couple times. Because I know people love it when I cover pinball machines on here. So anyway, I didn't go into GBA thinking about pinball. But I'm looking over lists of games because my knowledge of the GBA is so low. And lo and behold, I'm looking at this list of games like forgotten classics that people don't think about anymore, but were really great games. And that's how I came upon my entry this week, which was the Pinball of the Dead. Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that's scary. Pinball coming out, I thought you. Anyway, the Pinball of the Dead, Brent. This game is a pinball tribute to the House of the Dead series, developed by WoW Entertainment, Brent, the powerhouse Sega developer, which I'll get into them in a little bit. They're responsible for, amongst other things, they did pretty much the Typing of the Dead series on all the ones that are available on the PC. They did Sports Jam. Remember when we used to play that back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
They were responsible for House of the Dead 3, Giant Grand 2K, which is a All Japan Pro Wrestling game I play on the Dreamcast, Sega Bass Fishing 2, and Sega GT. They were working on a lot of like pretty big titles in Japan. There, published in America or in Japan by Sega and America, they teamed up with THQ to publish this one. Came out in June 18th of 2002 here in the States. We actually got it before Japan, which is unusual. So, a little bit about WoW Entertainment. Again, this was a pretty... They didn't just shovel this off into some duds. This was a development company that Sega owned. They started it up in 2000, and it only ran until 2003 when they merged it with another outfit. But it was basically the Sega Software R&D Department 1, which is kind of neat. So they didn't just put a bunch of losers on this. They actually put a real outfit on it. So had you played this before I get into it?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
not.
I hadn't played this one. Okay, so
mm-mm.
In a nutshell, what you've got here is, again, a pinball game for the GBA based on the Sega House of the Dead light gun games. Now, I like some of these light gun games, so I'm actually sort of familiar with them. I played the first couple. Also, there was a really cool one for the Wii that was like a grindhouse version. I really enjoyed that one, too. So I came into this knowing something about the series. You also, you know, aside from the fact that it's tied into the series, I guess you've got some samples and some creatures in there that are, and some music that is from the series, which I recognized a couple things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you open up Pinball the Dead, oh, I want to mention something. This game I had trouble emulating, Brent. If you can believe it, I could not use NES to emulate this. I had to go get a specialty PC emulation set up to play this. Did you have that similar situation?
It crashed whenever you actually hit into anything in the
menu.
That's
right. I had the same problem. Yeah. And I thought, remember we joked last week how easy it would be to emulate this stuff. And lo and behold, I picked a game that wouldn't emulate. It was driving me absolutely crazy, man.
I had to go on the great search as well. So.
So let's talk about, let's get to the nitty gritty. This game pops up. You get sort of a like a low-res digitized scene here of crap going down. Now, I've not knowing much about the actual story, from what I read, it's the same story as in House of the Dead 2. It's 2 years after the Kurian problem in the mansion that from the first House of the Dead, and a man named Goldman, who's in charge of him, infests the city with zombies. You got to stop him pinball style. You get three tables, Brent, to play with, and you get a control method on these that is okay. What you've got here is, of course, if you picture a GBA in your hands, pinball can be tricky on controls. I probably would have set it up a little bit different, but the setup they've got right out of the gate, you get used to it. It's one of those deals where you use you've got the flipper. The flipper is a couple different things. You can use your up, down, left, right, one of those keys to flip the right side, and a button to flip the left. You could also you could also change the controls if you want, which is good. It's also got a nudge button, you know, so you can sort of like whack the machine with your gut, like what we do in a real machine. The three different pinball machines it features are, I would say they're diverse. Let's go with that. They're called Wandering, Movement, and Cemetery. Now, these names are kind of, I mean, I wouldn't release a machine in the arcade under those names, but I don't know why. So, and I'm assuming.
What, you don't want to go play the hottest new pinball machine, yeah. Movement?
Especially that machine, where there's little movement involved. But we'll get to it. I'm just going to go into these and talk about the tables a little bit, Brent.
Okay.
Wandering. It's a machine where you've got there's like a pyramid looking shape at the top. These tables are made up of like three layers of table, effectively. It's the old scrolling pinball table, a la Alien Crush, Devil Crush, and some of these games. Metroid was one that I'd played like this. So you've got, it's sort of that style of pinball where they make that table as much larger than they can be in real life, with sets of flippers three or four sets of flippers to play with. And these tables are all like that. So Wandering has a pyramid shape at the top with like zombies spinning around on it. Then the big feature in the middle of the play field is a clock face. These games all have a skill shot when you flip the ball into play, where you hit the button at the right time. This cursor will sort of fly all over this picture of an animated zombie. And if you hit the button when the curse is on the zombie, it shoots him and kills him, which we've actually seen this in real arcade machines, haven't we, Brent, where you do the
absolutely
Jurassic,
yeah.
Park comes to mind is one where it would do that, where the curse would fly around the screen in the DMD. Once you do that, it's time to actually get into the game. Now, you're going to find on these machines that they're sort of the same old for a lot of them in terms of what you see. You've got a lot of zombies and creatures just wandering around on the playfield like idiots. I mean, they don't really do anything. They don't like attack. I mean, they don't actually do anything to you, the player, that I can tell after playing these. They just sort of stagger around like idiots, and you sort of smash them. And when your pinball goes through them, there's a blotch of blood where you ran them over.
Well, if you go into them fast, you'll just smear right through them.
Yeah, they come back.
But if the ball hits them slow, they'll actually.
One thing about these zombies, if you're like, man, I'm gonna clear these suckers out, you're not. They never stop coming. It's zombie mania is running wild. So when you play this particular table, it's a pretty decent table. But it's sort of generic. You'll notice that on all these tables, one of the big gameplay mechanics is spelling words by hitting certain targets or hitting certain holes. And since they're multi-leveled, when the ball starts out at the top, if it gets past your flippers up there, then it goes sort of the second part of the pinball machine, the middle part, and you've got a couple flippers there. And if it gets past that, you're at the bottom part. And if it gets past that, you've lost the ball. It sounds like it'd be hard for that to happen, but it's not. It's actually not that hard at all because, it's just the way it's set up. I noticed that this game had really large outlanes, and so there was a lot of outlane action on Wandering. It was a decent table. Then you've got table number two, Movement, which is, like you said, a horrible name for a pinball table. This thing has sort of, at the top of this table, this sort of like this atomic, like an atom, this thing spinning kind of gimmick. And then you've...
It's a birthing chamber.
What's that? A birthing chamber, sure. And then you've got the one thing it also had was much like Haunted House in the arcade. It had a sub-level that you could get to with zombies, like, under the glass. That was pretty well done with flippers under there. But this game had one major I mean, I, this was my least favorite table by a long shot, and it's because it's got this gate at the bottom of the screen that closes up, and so when you're at the bottom flippers, you've got, like, no distance to hit the ball up in front of you because there's this closed gate, and you can sort of whack it open, but it takes forever. It's tough, and so you're effectively reduced to using the out lanes, the sides, to get the ball out of the bottom part of the table. When you get it out of there, the table becomes a lot more fun, but this was incredibly frustrating on this level. Now, I do want to say one thing about this whole game, and especially this level. If you're a real big player of the House of the Dead series, you might recognize it, because I've been told that the music for this, a lot of it came from House of the Dead 2. The tune on this table is off the charts. I got to give the Game Boy credit. This sucker can play some tunes, man. I mean, it was killing this song. This song was one of the best songs I've ever heard in any game. It was awesome. You know, and it really made you want to play pinball, and it was a driving beat, but it was kind of creepy. But it was great. Great song. All the tables had good music. This table had super good music. And it was not my favorite. And it was strictly because of that stuff at the bottom. When you got the ball at the top, it wasn't too bad. The last table, actually, at least it has a name sort of like a real pinball machine, Cemetery. This is probably the best table. It's hard, but it's the best. On this table, your flippers are hands, which is weird. It's also got a gimmick that we love from the arcade, Brent, the head on the table. There's a zombie head stuck on the table that you could whack. There's rails around that you could actually spin the ball around, and eventually when the ball slows down, it whacks the zombie, and the zombie goes, ugh! This one also has the worms from Dune at the top. There's one big, huge Dune worm, and then there's three little sub-Dune worms that are like pop bumpers at the top that you whack. And eventually the huge worm will spit out more zombies. And the zombies will, if you on all these levels, they sort of walk around like in circles and stuff. They don't do a whole lot, like I said, but they're there. They're there to hit. For the most part, these are like pretty much the same in terms of how you approach them. You're spelling stuff. You're to get multi ball. You're also in this one. There's little heads you can hit as targets. It's pretty good. Also, I like there's some bumpers in this that are chainsaws. Whenever you hit them, make the chainsaw noise. I like that too. Now, if you get lucky enough in these games to go far enough, you get a boss battle. There are six. Did you get to play a boss battle, Brent?
Several, yes.
I played the boss, and I remember this guy from House of the Dead. It's the big, like, sort of mechanical idiot with the dumb little annoying flying jerk that would fly around going like,
with the little imp thing, yeah.
And I crushed this guy. When you go to a boss battle, you knock the ball through a tunnel, you come out, and it's a little enclosed room, and it's just your flippers, the bad guy, and you try not to let the ball pass underneath the flippers. I didn't find the boss battle, and I've read all these are the same, by the way. I heard the bosses, there's six bosses. I only saw the one. I saw them twice. But you just whack them with the ball until they die. And that was like you kill. In this case, I killed the big zombie guy, the big robot guy, and then I beat up the little annoying guy. And then you win, and you get points. That's pretty much all there is to it. All these things have cool sound. But, you know, I would say the tables, if I'm looking at these from like a playability scale, I'd say I like the third one the best, the first one the second best, and then the middle one is the dirt worst, the movement, and just strictly because of the because of that gate. Did you have your preference on these tables?
I did, and I ranked them in
did
the same
you?
Order. I think I got a little farther than you did on most of the tables. For example, on the table we like the most, Cemetery, if you whack that bottom head enough and spell die enough times, the play field opens up like an open chest, and a head is in the, it comes up, and you can whack the head over, a new head
pretty
over
good.
And over. In movement, its gimmick is it has a cyclone ramp at the top where you can go and it just spins around and around until it loses momentum and falls back down. And that grows a baby. You're growing baby zombies.
Yeah, that, I did get that far, yeah.
And when that thing comes out, you know, that's where how you get your boss battle on that. And then the first one, really the clock faces, I guess, is the focus of the table, but it's not the important part. The important part's all at the top when you are whacking different zombies until you can open up the boss room. It's nice that all these have themes. You know, all the tables have stories. And they have things, objectives to do, so it's not just scoring points. You're trying to make things happen.
Lots of targeting.
The issue I have with this game is twofold. First off, I don't like pinball machines like this. I don't like scrolling pinball machines. So going in, for me, this thing was at a pretty big disadvantage. If for my video pinball, I like it when you just have one screen, or at most, you have one set of flippers that scrolls. I hate the multi-layer, and I mean, it's video pinball, tons of them do it. And it's not that this one did that aspect of it bad, I just don't like that type of game. What really killed this game for me, though, Aaron, it really killed it bad, was the physics are the absolute dirt worst. It is not uncommon that you will flip something and the ball will get right to the edge of a ramp or something, and the ball will actually start to come back down, but the game will decide that you made it far enough and you'll then go up the ramp. So you'll do a full 180 and just start going up the ramp. I hate that kind of garbage. It's bad and it shouldn't be done.
You're not wrong.
You can't do that in a pinball machine.
I noticed that it usually, that sort of thing, I thought the ball physics were good until. And they were good until you would get to a area that was a segment of the table. Like you said, the perfect example are the rails that go around the human head or the zombie head. When you go, if you touch that lower ramp, you're going to go up it no matter how hard you hit the ball. And then you may not go around it 10 times. It may only limp around one time, but it's not smooth. We both grew up playing like Pinball Fantasies and Pinball Dreams and stuff like that. And one thing that they did in those games was they got the ball movement pretty much dead on, and it kept getting better, Epic Pinball and stuff. This game's got the movement pretty well down until you get into like one of those features. For whatever reason, it reminded me of like one of those games that have a cutscene as part of the gameplay. It's just going to happen, and no matter what you do. That was a problem, and it did it on every field had one of those, and it did it on every field. And I mean, I don't think it's a game breaker. I mean, I didn't like hate the game for it, but I absolutely noticed it. One of the things that I'm not the biggest zombie guy, you know, so. I'm sort of like a beautiful play field. These aren't beautiful. They're themed properly. You know what I'm saying? They're not attractive to look at for a long period of time. And so I will say that after a while, I just sort of got tired of the whole zombie thing on every board. That's the good thing about a package of pinball that has like multiple tables. If you don't like the one about the game show, you can play the one about the carnival. You know what I mean? This one, they're all zombie. Of course, that's what you're getting. That's what it says on the box. So, you know, I can't say too much about it. But you do get multi-ball. You do get, when you hit the skill shot, you'll get some sort of prize. It could be a point prize. Yeah. It could be like a longer freeze on your ball saved. You know, I will say, I don't know if I played long enough, I know I didn't, to understand all the rules of the table, and I couldn't find, like, a comprehensive set of rules, documentation for the game, and I looked, you know, and I wonder how deep these tables are aside from spelling out the stuff, you know.
Well, the game gives you a tutorial before, if you load up the table and then don't hit anything, the game will actually give you a fairly comprehensive
really?
Detail
I didn't
into
that.
What's
I'm,
going
I'm
on.
I'm glad you mentioned it. Did it help?
It basically tells you how to get the bosses and huge objectives on the table. Like, it's okay. It's very slow
yeah.
to explain what's going on because it only explains it two or three lines of text
yeah.
at a time. And it kind of just goes on and on and on and on. So I only sat through
that's
one
still a
of
nice,
them.
That's a nice touch.
It is. This is the type of game. First of all, let me say, I don't think you should go out and buy this game. I don't even think you should go out and emulate this game. If an emulator is already running and this is going there, fine, give it a spin. Because it's not horrible. And it is, it has enough going on that you can find entertainment in it, okay? You can go and you can play it over and over and over and get better and find new things to unlock. But the presentation is just not strong enough for me to come back to this ever.
I liked it a little more than you. I could absolutely play it more. But, I mean, the thing is, would I play this over other pinball machines that were available in the GBA of the same quality? Probably not, truth be told, because I just because the theming's not that great. I will say I love the music. I love the music a lot. The sound effects are hit and miss. I thought the boss battles, I only had the two, but they were pretty kind of lame. And I've read that they have, that's pretty much,
very lame.
That's the long and short of it. They're lame boss battles. this thing...
Did we get some user reviews
we
on
did.
This, Aaron?
We got user reviews. I'll go over that. I guess I should go to the actual reviews real quick. So, this, it's funny. When you do all these obscure systems, it's hard to find reviews. This thing, I had reviews coming out the yin-yang. So,
well, yeah, so get, it's the GBA.
Get this, Brent. This game received the Editor's Choice for Game Zone. This also was... included in the, it was ranked in 137 in Nintendo Power's list of the top 200 best games of all time. Of all time. Yeah.
No,
that, I
give
swear
me
to
a
you,
break.
It was. This, it was also listed as one of the best Game Boy Advance games by the Den of Geek. So this game has, it was pretty highly touted. I'll go over some of the scores here. The Metacritic score on this thing is 79 out of 100, where that's where they accumulate a bunch of critic scores. So that's around the 80% there. Pretty good. EGM gave this 6.6 out of 10. Game Informer gave it 9 out of 10. GamePro 4.5 out of 5. GameSpot 8 out of 10. GameSpy 3 out of 5. GameZone 9 out of 10. IGE 8 out of 10. And Nintendo Power 4 out of 5. Huge scores for this game. So, you know, it's funny because I'm going to go over these Discord scores. And I knew... that people were killing me for picking this. I didn't know. I thought, and they were killing this game. And I was like, man, this game's not that bad. Well, some people didn't like it, as I'll go over here. Let me scroll over to some scores here. So let's go with John Bodevkar Schaller. He writes, I've never been a big fan of the adventure pinball genre, and I prefer my computer game pinball to be mostly reproducible in real life. Pinball the Dead is the worst of the bunch, because not only is it your typical zombified drab, brown, and green everything, but the game is incredibly easy and therefore boring. He thought it was easy, Brent.
It wasn't
hard. I didn't think it was that
easy.
I mean,
to keep the ball up.
Bosses pose no threat to the player at all, and lumber about the stage like a bad hybrid boss. He had to get that in there. He always has to get in a kick against the Amiga. Avoid this one and play Pinball Advance, a Euro-only release, instead. His ranking below average. Our good buddy Graham W. Vepke writes, the graphics are ugly, the gameplay is okay, but the floating ball physics, what makes or breaks pinballs, is just not great. The sound is also not that great, yet it's the best part. It was probably a technical feat when first released, but with three very similar tables, it offers no replay value. Break the cartridge, 3 out of 10. My God, break the cartridge? That's a bit harsh, I think, from Graham. Graham's usually, he's such a gentle soul, but not this time around. So, Brent, not a ton of love for Pinball of the Dead. I have to say I liked it more than I think everyone else. I don't mind these sorts of games. Like I said, I've played a lot of Metroid Pinball and a lot of Alien Crush. I'm a real big fan of Devil's Crush, which, you know, the two TurboGrafx games. I don't know if you've played those much, but they're both a lot of fun. They're both that same sort of scrolling, you know, top to the bottom screen motif. They can be a lot of fun if you get into them. But I will say, much like John, I prefer my pinball games to be like, actually, I really prefer actual legitimate games from the arcade. But that's just me. So that's a big, I guess, a big thumbs down for Pinball of the Dead. Now, Brent, you sort of went a completely different route from me. What do you got this week? And I'd say I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, I was looking for pinball machines. I was looking for GBA games that I hadn't personally played. And I was flipping through a list of kind of forgotten games or games that were, you know, passed over in the day. And I came across Ninja 5-0, or the PAL name, which I think is actually better, Ninja Cop.
No, Ninja 5-0 is
good. Ninja Cop, developed by Hudson Soft, so huge company, published by Konami, also huge company, both Japanese companies. Game never released in Japan. It had an April 2000 release, 2003 release in both NA and EU, never released in Japan. In Ninja Cop, you play as Joe you play as Joe, and you are a ninja cop, and you have to go through and stop terrorist group and defeat people and rescue all the hostages. So you just in there being a ninja cop, actual ninja cop. I was shocked at this game. So let's go through a little bit of what a ninja cop can do. When you first start out, it just kind of plops you into the game. Again, it gives you some story. It gives you what you're doing, but it just puts you right in the action. So I was sitting there, and I was like, okay, what does this button do? What does this button do? And the first button I pressed, boom, throwing star. Good old traditional ninja weapon. I was like, okay. So I was like, I hit the next button, I jumped. I was like, okay, that platformer, you know, you're going to have that kind of thing. And then I hit the left trigger, and he pulls out binoculars. And it allows you to scroll the screen around the level to kind of get an idea of what's going on. And this is all 2D side-scrolling action. So I was looking around. I was like, okay, that's pretty neat. I see a bad guy over there, and, you know, I'm a ninja cop, so I'm going to have to take care of him. And then I hit the right trigger. Dude pulls out a katana, slashes it. I'm like, that's it. All of my ninja-ness is here. So I start rolling around. And I'm beating up things, and I'm seeing platforms above me that I can't get to. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because I went into this completely blind. I didn't watch any videos. I just jumped into it. And it took me a second to realize that you have a Bonnie Commando-style ninja rope that you can you launch out, and you grab a hold of platforms, and you can swing left and right and pull yourself up and lower yourself down, which adds so much mobility to the game. It's so crazy how it opens up so many possibilities. And that is when I was just like, you know what, this is a game. It's almost like it's tailored designed for me. And it wasn't until much, much later, talking about the controls, when I was just in panic. If you press A and B together, you actually do a special attack, which it's basically a ninja magic that fills the screen with fire, and then all your enemies die. Super awesome. So everything's there to be an awesome platformer. You've got your mobility, you've got your simple weapons, you've got your range, you've got your up close. So I kill something, and I get a power up, right? So now, instead of throwing, you know, your shurikens, your ninja stars, you're throwing your tri spread fire, right? Big old fireballs shoot out in three directions. boom. It's like, oh, okay, this is great. And the enemies actually have like a little I'm on fire animation when they're going down and everything else. And then I get another power up. Well, first off, I get hit and I lose that power up. So it's one of those type of games, which I know is probably going to tick a lot of people off. If you have a power up and you get hit, you lose one level of your power up. So I lost it and I got it back, and then I got to my third power up. And it's kind of a downgrade in a way, because you don't shoot three at a time now. Now you just shoot lightning fast shurikens in a straight line that just will just cut through all enemies on the screen. You know, if you get a line of enemies, you can just hit them and all three of them will go down, or however many there is. So those are your level of power-ups in the game. So I'm super pumped, because you've got you've got your ranged attack, you've got your up-close attack, and you can power these things up, and you've got your special attack, and you've got your mobility. And I'm like, man, the only thing you're really lacking is an air attack. I mean, you could throw your ninja stars in the air, and it works, but it's not great. And then I discover you've got that too. If you use your sword while you're jumping, you'll do a spin attack and kill enemies that way. So it has literally everything that makes a good platformer good. Only thing it needs now is interesting bosses and good stage design and something to do. And I find that the first thing I find is a key. And I see that the keys go from door to door. You know, if you have to have the red key to unlock the red door and all that kind of crap. So I see it's going to be kind of a key hunter. I'm not a big fan of those. And if it was the only thing it had, I would kind of be disappointed. But it's not. It also has hostage situations where someone will have a human shield in front of them. And you have to wait until they make an attack so you can counterattack and save the hostage. So it's literally, for me, this is like the total package. And while I haven't played all the way through it yet, I 100% guarantee I'm going to play all the way through this game. I'm going to play it multiple times because it is just so much of what I look for in a platformer. And then I kind of went off and I started doing a little bit of research and getting reviews and that kind of thing. And they say that the game is terribly short, which for GBA games is not surprising. It is something that if you can play something for, you know, an hour and a half and play through the game, that's really typical of the GBA era. And that's about how long this game is. It's six stages in total. But it does at least put you in fairly diverse environments for the six stages. You've got the first thing you come to is you can select either the bank, the harbor, or the airport. And depending on what you pick, it kind of tells you what kind of enemy group you're going up to face and what kind of background you're working with. But the gameplay, for the most part, is the same everywhere. It's find the keys to open the doors to save all the hostages to get to the boss. I had a tremendous amount of fun playing this. And like I said, I did a little more research. It does do one thing that I really hate. It does have multiple difficulties. And if you play on easy mode, then you cannot complete the game. It only allows you to play up to stage four. But if you play on normal mode or hard mode, it actually alters the game, which is so rare for games like this. It not only does it give you more enemies, which that's pretty common, but the key placement within the level actually changes. So it has a ton of replayability, which I really like. Aaron, what did you think of this thing? Obviously, I loved
it.
When I saw
the name of the game,
stupid.
I know
as heck.
The name's awesome. It's awesome. It's an awesome name. And I thought to myself, what we got here is another Urban Yeti that Brent's dug up. And I loaded this thing up on the. Of course, I'm playing these on my big old TV, all blowed up. And when I played Pinball the Dead, I mean, it's kind of crunchy looking on the big TV. This thing plays, this was awesome. It looks, it looks good on the big TV. This game is the,
it's
is
a
the bomb.
Pixely, but yeah, it gets the job
done. I loved
it.
I love this game. The you've got your ninja there. It's got these little cutscenes that introduce the missions. It tells you what you've got to do. And you, there's no baloney. You just get in there and go to work. Your ninja, he's got tons of moves, man. And you'll learn them as you play. You know, like when you first start having to do that gimmick where you take the chain and swing up and swing up onto a ramp. Like, it took me a good while to learn how to do that. But once you get it, you're in pretty good shape. The I love the fact that you get these power-ups. And when you get certain power-ups, like, your outfit changes. And you're right, when you lose, it sucks when you lose them. It's still kind of cool. I will say things happened in the game that surprised me. Like, at the start of, like, the second or third level, I'm bebopping along, and there's a giant robot shooting mortars at me. I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
You know, I didn't expect that.
Huge sprite on that thing, too. Huge
the,
sprite.
The rescuing the hostage thing's cool because they've got the hostage, and you've got to wait until they shoot at you, and then you get to, you try to black, you know, whack them. It's pretty fun. I've killed, and you can kill the hostage, you know, and you can even complete the level by killing hostages, but you know, you don't get the point, you know, the points for it. I like the level design's really clever. Something else that I love with the ninja, like there's a section of like the third level, I think we have to crawl through a bunch of like really tight areas, and you're crawling along like a doofus, and then, but if you hit the button, your ninja can slide crawl. It looks so cool.
Yes.
I was like, oh yeah. So even when you have to go into a tight spot, you can look cool. The ninja moves real well, man. The bad guys all are cool looking. There's a diverse group of bad guys. I like that. The game is mostly consists of going through these doors, so it sort of had almost like a, it almost reminded me of Elevator Action in a way, where you're going up on these ledges, going through these doors. The doors are just, they lead to other places. One of the annoying things is when they put a door at a level that you've got to swing off of, so a lot of times I would just go back in the door accidentally. That happened to me a lot. Where, you know what I'm saying? Did you ever have that happen where you would just...
I did have it once, but I kind of figured out what I was, you know, the timing on everything. But it is certainly a possibility.
Joe the Ninja...
When you have a game that only has four buttons and then your four directionals, you do run out of buttons when you're trying to put this much mobility into a game.
Joe the Ninja doesn't have what I would call... he does not have a robust hit point allotment. Like, you can get killed...
I think it's fair.
You get killed quick once you get past the flunky levels. You can go out and get smashed. I like the fact that you can pick where you want to go at the beginning of the game. You got three choices, and the second and third choices are harder than the first one. I tried all of them. I believe it's I know there's an airport in there. I think there's one that's like a bank, and I don't remember what the other one is.
You've got the stage names are airport. You've got Bank, Harbor, Airport.
That's it, Harbor.
And then the second set is Cave, Base, and Launch Site.
Yeah, I didn't even get to go to those. But this game, I think it's pretty hard. But I also think it's if you're good enough, you can get past this stuff. This is one of those games where someone that's good at, like, say, a Strider or a Ninja Gaiden, those type of guys, you know, this would be right up their alley. But, man, the amount of diversity that the ninjas got, I guess once I've played this game and looked into it, I guess this game has gotten a rep for being real good, you know, or very prized, you know, but I'd never heard of it. I mean, ever. And I don't know how well it did. I was surprised this didn't get a release in Japan. This seems like something.
Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story on that. Like I said, this released in 2003, and I don't think a Japanese port was ever even in the works. But it came out, it got great reviews, right? All the magazines loved it. I mean, they were eights and above for pretty much all the major outlets. And it's got a Metacritic of 82 out of 100 on the reviewer side. So it reviewed well. But it was up against Golden Sun, The Lost Age, which was a huge game on the Game Boy. And... it's tough to push Ninja 5-0 as a serious game, I feel. I think the name, now Ninja Cop is better, but I think that puts it in a bad light. I think if they would have went with a better name, I think if the packaging on this is actually pretty decent, but I think the name is such a put off, and it was going up against some other really big games that were releasing at the time that commercially it was a failure. And because of that, the game is tremendously rare. Right now, a loose cart of the game, you know, just the game itself, $200. If you've got the game in the box, $500. And if you've still got this game in the shrink, $735. It is said to be the most sought after handheld game of all systems. This is supposed to be one of the most sought after handheld games.
Is that how you heard of this game? Or did
commercially,
you
really.
Rant?
No, I just, you know, I was looking at a list of overlooked games, kind of hidden gems on the system, and that's what got me to pick it. And then after I did more looking into it, you know, after this was, I did all my research after I'd already picked the game and said I was going to play it.
Did this, so it reviewed pretty well?
Reviewed great, yeah.
Well, I have to say it was a real, I'd never heard of this one. And, you know, I'm not the biggest GBA guy, like I said, but I mean, if there's a lot of games in there like this, man, I can see why it was popular. This was a tremendous game. I really enjoyed it. We got a few reviews on this one, Discord reviews, if you will. But the Boat writes, Ninja 5-0 is an updated version of Rolling Thunder. Did you get that feeling when you played this?
Absolutely not. I have no idea where that's. I don't know where he's getting that
anyway,
from.
Anyway, Ninja 5-0 is an updated version of Rolling Thunder with a more dynamic protagonist that has a full arsenal of ninja-related moves and weapons. Not only can you do normal ninja things like throw shurikens and stab dudes, but when I discovered that you have a Bionic Commando-style ninja rope, I squealed with glee. He probably did. This game was one pleasant surprise after another. The only downside is the repetitive music. This is a must-play if you're a fan of Rolling Thunder, Symphony of the Night, or any of the other GBA Castlevania games, and more recent, The Last Ninja, a true hidden platformer gem, rated above average by Boat. His system has changed. We got Graham chiming in. This game reminds me of Bionic Commando Cross with Phantom 2040. There's a show I haven't thought about for a while. Yet it's just not something I want to play. Yes, I know it's well-loved GBA game in the community, and some call it a hidden gem, but Joe being a ninja and a cop, let's be honest, is not that great. The controls are quite frustrating on normal level. Playing this on the GBA player with a GameCube controller does not improve it, but it does improve it, but you still die and die and die. It looks nice and sounds are good, yet repetitive. It relies too much on grappling hook mechanic. But why play this when there's Metroid Zero Mission, Astro Boy, the Omega Factor, or Castlevania Area of Sorrow on the same system? Even Drill Dozer is better, 6 out of 10. Graham was on fire this week. I'll have to say, Brenny, I liked it. Now, I haven't played Drill Dozer or Sorrow of Aria and some of the stuff. All I can judge it on is what it was. I like the name because I like campy garbage. It does have a Rolling Thunder feel to me, I'll have to say. Or Elevator Action 2, I'll even go there.
Yeah, Elevator Action Returns, that I would agree on.
I like this game, and I think you're right. Your assessment of the name causing the game to have problems. But I thought the name was funny, personally. Also, I like the idea of a ninja on a police force. Listen, man, let me explain this to people, right, about having a ninja.
Ninja?
Okay.
Cop,
the ninja,
ninja
the
cop.
Ninja, you know, you don't bring in the ninja policeman whenever it's time to have a crossing guard, you know, or like a guy out there. This guy comes in when you got hostages. This thing's full of hostages. Who are you gonna send in? The beat cop? No, we've got a ninja on staff. Send in Joe the ninja. And I also like the fact that Joe's just an average cop. I work with cops. I can see Joe getting dressed in the cop locker, and they're all eating and telling dirty jokes to each other. and then everyone else puts on their cop suit, and Joe puts on his ninja suit. He's got to go do some high-level ninja crap. Have you ever seen a movie? You've got these specialized guys, they're John Wick and all these suckers. They're basically ninjas. That's what this guy is. If every police force had a ninja, we'd be laughing. That'd be the end of crime. And Joe has license to kill. He kills hundreds of people in this. They're deadly. They've got hostages. You have to drop the hammer on these suckers. If we had more cop ninjas,
there is
be a
much
better
hammer
place.
Dropping. That's very
That's
true.
That's the way I look at it. You know what else we need to drop the hammer on, Brent? The
What's
wheel.
That?
We're going to drop the hammer on this sucker. Tell them what we added this week, Brent.
I believe, since we just had to fill in the retro rewind, that we slid a little original Xbox action right into that
now,
retro rewind
before
hole.
Before we spin the wheel, I want everyone to know that the Xbox, are at least one of our least favorite episodes of all time, was the original Xbox. Yeah. And since we're on a roll, we need to grind this thing to a screeching halt. Here we go. Are you ready, Brent?
I am. Let's do it. Weak spin.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, Brent. Oh, no. Oh!
Oh, my goodness. It's time for a little bit
it's
of chat choice.
It's chat choice, Brent. Now, you know how we used to do this a different way, but now we do it on the fly right here in the chat room. You lucky few that are in the chat today. We need you to come up with next week's game, a consensus vote, next week's subject matter. It can be anything you want, but we got to have it. So, if you are in the chat room right now, and we do have a robust chat room going on here, Brent, I believe. Okay, we need you people to give us a topic, and we'll screw around while you talk about it. Now, Brent, you know, while we're waiting for them to come to a consensus, I want to go ahead and plug something. You see what I'm wearing here, Brent? There it is. It's the Coco Show that myself and Boat are hosts of. We are having a contest to give away this. Here it is. It's Gunstar, the new game for the Color Computer 3. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Amigo Aaron, I don't have a Color Computer 3. Go get one. But if you don't, you can play this on emulation. This is the newest game from our good buddy, Nicholas Marentes. He's done some fine work. Included on this disc are also a lot of his other works, including updated versions of Donut Dilemma. These all play on the VCC emulator for the Coco. This is a tremendous game, Brent. Tremendous game, and we're giving this away. Why would we do that? It's love. It's love. Plus an ulterior motive, too. To be entered to win this game, you have to do one simple thing. Go to iTunes. Leave the Coco Show a review. Good, bad, or indifferent. If you want to bury us, you can still win. We have no rules. But if you will go and drop an iTunes review for the Coco Show, you are entered to win Gunstar. And you will also be doing us a favor. Those reviews help our show be heard and seen by more people. Since Apple has a grip on the podcast industry, they rule it like kings, Brent. So we would appreciate it. And also, while you're there, if you feel like creeping over to ARG or the Amigos or any of our other shows, 1200XL, R. Sinclair, drop us a review. We love getting those iTunes reviews, and we would appreciate it, Brenny. Now, let's talk about, you know, I don't like to toot our own horn, Brent. I very seldom toot it. But there was a milestone for ARG. We actually hit the charts in the UK last month. It was stunning first appearance on the UK podcast charts, video game charts. We've been hitting the charts in the Netherlands for a while, but we actually finally hit the UK charts, and we appreciate that. Our last 2 months have been easily the most successful we've had on this show. Last week's show is already in our top 10 shows of all times list, and it was only been out a week. So we are
back and
having
watch
a
it.
Lot of success. So it's time to cave that in with a chat choice. Let's.
Okay, Aaron, I need you. I have a list in my mind. Yeah. Okay, I need you to pick a number.
Okay.
Between 1 to 10, and after you pick that number, I'm going to tell you what
I've got the number in my head right now.
Okay, go ahead and pick it.
The original Four Horsemen. Four.
Okay. Four puts us at games where you play as the bad guy.
Games where you're the heel. This was a chat suggestion. I like it.
I did have to filter out some suggestions, like Burger Time.
Who's a smarty? Who's a smarty? I like to come up with that one.
Solely on Burger Time. but we had some awesome suggestions. We're gonna have to get some pieces made of this stuff. We had the Tom X Sinclair 1000, right. Tower Defense games with elephants, spaceship games without elephants, which what I believe would be a much broader topic. Games where you play as a duck. Any game from the Hit Squad re-release series. Games where you play as a gumshoe, detective. Robot games. Games that were released in German but not English. That might be tough for us. Games focusing on programming, like Robot Odyssey and Carnage Heart. FMV games, C64. DOS booter games. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
So there was no consensus. You just had to pick a game from that list.
That's right. They were all over the chart. Listen. But we love that because that's right there, man. That's new pie pieces.
By the way,
the
DOS booter, I've been pushing that one for a while. So I like that. Hey, those are all great. First of all, it's nice that we have enough people in chat to make that many different choices. Although I would do question games without elephants.
We got a big boo from the chat for not picking Burger Time games.
I know who that's from. We did Burger Time. Just go back and watch that episode. It was amongst the least watched episodes of our show. So there you go. Brent, we better take, I don't know if people have noticed, but it's raining here at Amigo Studios, and the reverberating doom is, I'm trying to keep it at a minimum, but we're tempting fate, so we better get out of here quick. So next week, Brent, tell them, what are we playing again?
We are playing games where you are the
games
bad
where
guy.
You're the heel. I like that, Brent,
that's
because
right.
I'm a natural baby face, but sometimes I like to get nasty. So that'll be fun. Hey, thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you, Janet.
We record live every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Like I said earlier, if you get a chance to hit us up on iTunes, we'd appreciate it. We are on anchor.fm. All of our shows, go back and hit the back catalog up. There's got to be something in there you like. When you say, Brad, there's got to be something in there. I suggest
there's a lot in there.
I suggest the Action Max, for example, as one of the all-time great episodes. In my opinion, I know you hated that one. Plus, it's the one that I've got a permanent copyright strike against because I had to put "I Want Action Tonight" at the end of the credits, and I got in trouble for that. Any parting thoughts, Brandy, before you take it home?
I just want to mention that we are doing a special closing thing for our anchor.fm sponsors. If you want to be a supporter on that and get added to the end card fund, you can go to anchor.fm/ARG-presents and sign up, be a supporter. I think you can give as little as a dollar or, as much as you want.
10 million.
And we will add you to the end card as a little special
Very
thank
good.
You.
So, on that note, we bid you all fine adieu. And until next week, go kill zombies.
ARG would like to take a moment to thank our Anchor.fm supporters, Anthony Jarvis, John Schaller, and Terry Howard. Would you like to become an Anchor.fm supporter and help keep ARG spinning? You can do so by going to anchor.fm/ARG-presents. We'd also like to say hello to all of our podcast listeners. And a special thank you to all of our Twitch stream watchers and our YouTube subscribers. ARG Presents, where we spin that crazy wheel and make that wacky deal every single week.